Our Old Covenant reading is taken from the 51st chapter of Isaiah. So if you are able, when you find your place there, we'll begin reading the first verse. If you're able, please stand as we show our respect to God at the reading of sin. Inspired and infallible word. Please stand. Isaiah 51, we'll begin reading with verse 1. We'll read through the 16th verse. I invite you to hear the word of your God. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who gave birth to you in pain. When he was one, I called him. Then I blessed him and multiplied him. Indeed, the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and her wilderness he will make like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and sound of a melody. Pay attention to me, O my people, and give ear to me, O my nation. For a law will go forth from me, and I will set my justice for a light of the peoples. My righteousness is near. My salvation has gone forth, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands will wait for me, and for my arm they will wait expectantly. Lift up your eyes to the sky, then look to the earth beneath. For the sky will vanish like smoke, and the earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants will die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not wane. Listen to me, you who know righteousness, a people in whose heart is my law. Do not fear the reproach of man, neither be dismayed at their revilings, for the moth will eat them like a garment, and a grub will eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation to all generations. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the days of old, the generations of long ago. Was it not thou who cut Rahab in pieces, who pierced the dragon? Was it not thou who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, who made the depth of the sea a pathway for the redeemed to cross over? So the ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion, and everlasting joy will be on their heads. They will obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. I, even I, am he who comforts you. Who are you that are afraid of man who dies, and the son of man who is made like grass, that you have forgotten the Lord your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth? That you fear continually all day long because of the fury of the oppressor, and he makes ready to destroy. But where is the fury of the oppressor? The exile will soon be set free and will not die in the dungeon, nor will his bread be lacking. For I am the Lord your God, who stirs up the sea and its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in your mouth, and have covered you with the shadow of my hand to establish the heavens, to found the earth, and to say to Zion, you are my people. 2 Corinthians 1 will be our text this evening. The second letter to the Corinthians, verse 1, first 11 verses. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are throughout Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia. But we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we have the sentence of death within ourselves, in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us. He on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us, you also joining and helping us through your prayers, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed upon us through the prayers of many. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. All flesh is grass, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God abides forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Because I don't preach every Sunday evening, it's not just been 11 weeks, but we have spent 11 evening sermons on this loosely gathered together series of sermons on the encouragement that is ours in Christ. Excuse me. And it's basically taken from the opening verses of the second chapter of Philippians. If therefore there be any encouragement in Christ, any compassion and love, fulfill my joy. And so we've been looking at some of the things that are encouragements to us. And over the weeks, we've looked at the encouragement that comes from grace, unmerited favor, the encouragement that is ours, that we have peace with God and peace with one another through the blood of Christ. We've looked at the security that we have in God's faithfulness in the Lord Jesus Christ, that while we are faithless, He is faithful, and the encouragement that brings to us that it is His faithfulness that avails in the midst of our unfaithfulness, our fellowship that we have with God and our fellowship with one another, and the encouragement that that is to us in our walk, the fellowship that we have with God, participating with Him in the life of Christ, and our fellowship one with another, the comfort of love that we have, love of God and love to one another, the comfort of a renewed mind, that we are not walking in darkness any longer, not knowing over that which we struggle, the blessing of adoption, that we've been brought out of the family of sin and death, and we have been made children of God, the encouragement in life and death, the encouragement that we have in conflict, and we could, I'm not going to name them all, but lots of encouragement there. And so we have these things. And this evening, I want to talk to you about the encouragement we have of comfort, the comfort that's spoken to us here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. I'm going to start off by giving you an illustration, a personal illustration that I look back on and I think of it because of the profound influence that it had. You all know my account that I have shared with you, speaking about the Lord dealing with me when I was ready to depart from the faith because of my own weakness of faith. And it was there that I realized that I was chosen of God, and He would not let me go. My faith would have failed, but He would not let me go. And that was when Bunny was diagnosed with Hodgkin's disease, and Jonathan was in intensive care, and both of them were afflicted, and I was very angry with God, and yet God would not let me go. How grateful I am for that. I look back on that, my own sin, but it's a great comfort to my soul that God was faithful when I was ready to leave. And then there's another incident in my life that I share with you. I share with them because they're profound. But many, many years later, you will recall that Bunny was afflicted with a severe heart attack. And that was another day in the life, another day in the life of a fool, if you will, speaking of myself. And one of the things that I remember, I was prepared for that by the comfort that I'd received from earlier, when I was ready to depart, and the Lord wouldn't let me go. And so as I did not think that it was anything serious when I went to the hospital to see Bunny. And then when I saw Kimberly up against a wall, just kind of curled up there weeping, that I realized that this was something much more serious than I thought. And as I went into the emergency room, physicians were working furiously to try to find a vein to give her the necessary medications. And I can remember very vividly they unhooked they finally found a vein, and they were taking her down the hallway down to get her ready for the procedure. And they had unhooked all the electronics and all that stuff, and they were pushing the gurney down the hallway, and they began to run. And then they said, "You wait there and come back." And when I got back, the doctor was working on her furiously, and the doctor said, "Mr. Bradley, there are some papers over there that you need to sign. If I were you, I wouldn't ask any questions. I would just sign the papers." And then I went over to Bunny, and she was having a very difficult time breathing, and she couldn't speak, but she pulled the oxygen mask down, and she said the greatest words that I could have heard. And I knew exactly what she was saying. She pulled her mask down, and she said, "I'm calm. I'm calm." And we talked about it afterwards, because I knew what she was saying. She thought about it. She said, I could say I love you, but he already knows that. I don't have that much breath. I'd better say something. And I knew if I said, "I'm fine," I'd just be lying. And so she didn't say that. And so she said, "I'm calm." And then afterwards, I went out to the waiting room. And the greatest comfort, many of you from the congregation, some who are now with the Lord and others who are elsewhere, came and sat with me in the waiting room that afternoon. And we prayed and we sang. And I hope Bunny doesn't get mad at me. I've said this before. I went home that evening knowing that Bunny was in dire straits, and I had the best night's sleep that I'd had in weeks. And it wasn't because I didn't care, you understand. It was because I'd received the comfort of God through the comfort of His people. Well, sorry to bore you with that, but I want to tell you of some of the things that God has done for me. I want to tell you of this comfort. And that's what I want you to understand, that there have been comforts throughout your life and comforts throughout all in my life that God has given to us. And so I want you to remember, as we think of these things, as you look at this passage, I want you to remember that the source of all comfort is God Himself. Any comfort in this life comes through God Himself and through the mediation of Christ. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God through the mediation of Christ. And I'm going to submit to you the comforts that we have received in life have all come from God. And with that, I want to warn you, beware of seeking your comfort in the finite. Now, to be sure, there are legitimate comforts in God's instruments. God uses instruments. He uses His created order. There's the comfort of work that we have the ability to provide for ourselves and our families. There's the comfort of food. There's good food that we enjoy. And all of these things, we certainly should be thankful for them. There's legitimate comfort in the things that God gives to us. But they're simply instruments. You have to understand that. And you have to be careful about finding your comfort in those things alone. It's so easy to make them the source of our comfort, because there's a danger in basing your comfort on that which is transient, that which is here for time but can easily be taken away. Those things that are most precious to us and which are legitimate comforts will one day not be there. I think of family and friends can fail you. The people closest to us can fail us. And betrayal is certainly a difficult thing. I think when Pastor Dykes was here, he was speaking about the betrayal of Judas. His own familiar friend has lifted up his heel against me. And there's something about that betrayal, of those, especially a betrayal of those who are closest to us. And that can happen, and it probably will happen to you somewhere along the line, that people who have been great sources of comfort to you will turn against you and be sources of great pain. And family, father and mother, those who have provided so much comfort for us throughout all of our lives, they will grow old and they'll die. And we will no longer have the comfort of parents or brothers and sisters. I think of my mother. She'll be 100 years old the end of this month. Her brothers are gone. Her sisters are gone. Her parents are gone. Her daughter is gone. I just think of those things. And I'm saying, be thankful for your family. What a great comfort they are. But understand that they're temporary. And if all of your comfort is in your family, you could be very disappointed. Psalm 27:10, my mother and father may forsake me, but the Lord will take me up. Isn't that a great comfort? That's the comfort that we have in the death of loved ones as well. Your health and your life are destined to fail. Psalm 90:10. This is something I've thought a lot of the last few years. As for the days of our life, they consist of 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone, and we fly away. I told Bunny when she turned 70 and I turned 70, well, the Lord's given us our 70. Everything else is gravy. If we make it another 10, we've done better than most. But you see, if all of our hope is in our health and in our life, it's gone. If that's where your source of comfort is, then it's going to be disappointed. Your earthly possessions will diminish in value. A passage that's been very important for me, so Proverbs 23:4-5, do not weary yourself to gain wealth. Cease from your consideration of it. When you set your eyes on it, it's gone. For wealth certainly makes itself wings like an eagle and that flies toward the heavens. And by the way, possessions can be a great source of comfort. None of these things are evil in and of themselves. I hope you understand that. They're gifts. And they can be sources of comfort. Your health and your life can be great comforts to you. But you recognize they are but instruments. And as we think of the status of our nation, you may be deprived of your freedom, your civil liberties as well. And those are great gifts. They're great gifts. But if that's where your comfort is, you're liable to lose it. Believers in the past have lost those things. They've lost their lives. And if that's where we find our comfort, I can't help but think of Habakkuk. We just went through that when we came back from the trip and we were in the midst of all of the chaos. We preached on Habakkuk because I thought it was important. And, the Lord says, Habakkuk said, this nation is just a bunch of losers. Lord, you have to do something. And God says, I'm going to do something. I'm sending the Babylonians. And Abek says, no, that isn't what I had in mind, because that's going to affect me too. I'm in trouble with the rest of them. And then, of course, he recognizes at the end that it really doesn't matter with all of those things. The Lord will cause him to ride on the high places. His trust was in him. And so we think of the daily provisions as well. Can't help but think of Jonah's shade vine. You know, he was angry with God because Nineveh had repented, and he goes out and he finds some shelter, and God causes a vine to grow up, and he finds shelter. He's comforted by the vine, and God sends the worm and kills the vine, and Noah was ticked off at God again. He was ticked off at God for his mercy, and he's ticked off at God because he didn't comfort him in his rebellion, and he taught him a lesson. He said, what you wouldn't have compassion on Nineveh, but you had compassion on a stinking vine that's here today, gone tomorrow. Where are your priorities? And then I think of Elijah's water source as well, that dried up. Well, all of that to say, all of those illustrations, beware of seeking your comfort in the finite and determine to ground your comfort in the triune God. Though troubles assail us and dangers affright, though friends should all fail us and foes all unite, yet one thing secures us, whatever betide. The promise assures us, the Lord will provide. Yes, He may not give you all of those things. He may deprive you of those instruments, but he's given you himself. He never deprives you of himself. And so God the Father is the comforter of his people. Notice the words here. He is the God of all comfort, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. That's something of his attributes. He's the God of all comfort, the one who is the source of every comfort that we enjoy. Romans 15:5, now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another. The God of patience and comfort, the source of those things. And the word for comfort, of course, is paraclete, the comforter. When the Lord sends the Holy Spirit, he sends the comforter, the one called alongside to help. God is the one who comes alongside to help us and to comfort us. He's the very origin of compassion. He's the Father of compassion, or the Father of mercies. And you must remember that this God of all comfort is not unmindful or uncaring. His very character is to know you intimately and to care for you and to show you compassion and mercy. And he's the source of all comfort. If you've ever received any comfort from any source, you are indebted to the God of all comfort. If you receive comfort from any of the things that we talked about, not to put your trust in, know that it's come from the Lord himself, and you ought to be thankful. Jesus, the Son, is the ground of all comfort. God, the Father, is the source. Jesus, the Son, through whom that comfort comes, is the mediator of the covenant. Every blessing comes through him and for his sake. 2 Corinthians 1:5, for just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. Our comfort comes through Christ. In John 14:16, I, Jesus, will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may be with you forever. And Jesus is the one who sends that's one of the gifts, one of the promises, one of the things that God gives to his people, that Christ gives to his people. His disciples were concerned. He had been leading them and caring for them. And what were they going to do? He says, I'm going away. I'm not going to be with you anymore. And they were frightened. They were discouraged. And he says, don't be discouraged. My going away is going to be better. I'm going to send the Comforter, who's not going to be limited to space as Jesus was in his earthly body. The Spirit of God is infinite. He's everywhere. He comforts all his people in every place. At the same time, he says, I will send you the Comforter. So the Father comforts us on the basis of Christ's work. There is no longer any condemnation. We talked about that peace with God that comes to us through the work of Christ. That grace comes to us through Christ. Our fellowship was with God through Christ, and we have fellowship with one another. Adoption is through Christ. We are adopted into the family of God as we are made heirs and joint heirs with Christ. And apart from Christ, there is no such thing as true comfort. You see, if we are not in Christ, all of these things that we find our comfort in the transient, will not be a source of comfort ultimately. Rather, they will be grounds of accusation, like in Jeremiah, as the Lord reminds his people of everything that he had done through them throughout the generations, and they continued. They did enjoy those blessings, but they weren't blessings in the end. They were aggravations to their sin. And so if you're not in Christ, don't be distracted by the comforts that lead you away from the Lord. Look at them and say, these are the gifts that the Lord has given to me. How can I harden my heart against him who's soon been so gracious to me? These comforts all come through Christ, the mediator of the covenant. The writer of the Hebrews puts it this way. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace?
the Lord offers himself in the gospel, and to harden your heart and to resist that goodness and that grace, which is the foundation and fountain of every other comfort, is to despise the comfort that God gives and to invite no comfort at all, but to aggravate. I beg you, be reconciled to God in Christ. He offers himself to you. This is the only source of comfort in life and in death. What will you do on your deathbed? What will all of those other things mean to you when you're about to take your last breath? And what will be your comfort then? If you're in Christ, you will have every comfort, though everything else will be taken away from you in that moment. And the Holy Spirit delivers God's comfort to our souls. He takes the things of Christ and he applies them to us. Jesus was given life, and Jesus says, "And I give it to whomever I wish." And that life includes the comforts. Okay, so that's the first thing we see. Remember, the source of all comfort is God himself. Don't be distracted by the gifts themselves, but remember from whence they come. Be thankful for them, but make certain that your thanksgiving is directed to the God who gives them. There are great comforts in those things. And then rejoice in the extent of God's comfort as well. Notice here it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comforts, who comforts us in any affliction, in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." It's all-encompassing. God's comfort is universal. You cannot find a condition or a situation where there is no comfort in the God of all comfort. He comforts us in all our afflictions, in every situation. God comforts you in all pressure situations. That's what this is. This word affliction is the word for pressure or persecution. It is it's the pressure that that comes to us from many sources. It may be the pressures of work, and you all know these things. You have deadlines. Sometimes you think, you know, life would really be great if it weren't for other people, right? You have to work with people, and sometimes we can be an affliction one to another. But they can come from work, the pressures of the job, the expectations. Sometimes you're given work to do. You're required to make bricks without straw, as it were. And the pressures are great. The pressures that come from family troubles, the squabbles in the family, the disagreements, the separations, and the trials that come. Friends disappoint you. We've talked about that already. Or illness, the pressures of illness and the inability to do those things, just the weakness that comes to the body, and the things that we're no longer able to do that we want to do, the pressures of death that come to us in our families, the dangers of life. You need to remember that pressure is not evil in and of itself. In fact, pressure is necessary for us. Is it coal under pressure that becomes a diamond, or carbon under pressure that becomes a diamond? And that's what God does with us. That's how God works with us. He uses pressure to conform us to the image of Christ. So we don't necessarily say do away with the pressure, but give us the comfort to endure and to profit from the pressures of life that come to us. So God comforts you in all pressure situations. The God who comforts us in all of our pressures, no matter what they are. And he's the God who comforts you in every kind of pressure. They're the afflictions of the body, and they're the afflictions of the soul, the fears for the future that we wrestle with, and those internal afflictions, the wrestling with sin, and the wrestling with assurance and things like that. Those are the pressures that are upon our spirits as well. We've talked about the afflictions of body, but we have those internal afflictions, you know, those things that keep you awake at night if you're spiritually aware. I was very grateful to Dr. Phillips as he spoke about Rabbi Duncan, because I'm a Rabbi Duncan. I'm keenly aware of my sins, and when I look, I just wonder. And there have been sleepless nights and anguish of soul. And what's the source of comfort there? Well, if I keep looking to myself, I just sink deeper and deeper and deeper into the pit. My comfort is when I look out of myself and I remember the promises. And I remember that my unbelief in not trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, thinking that somehow he is insufficient and I need to add to it, that is sin. That's unbelief. Because Jesus has told me that he who believes in him has passed from life, from death into life. So, but that's my comfort. You see, I don't look to myself. I don't look to anybody else. I look to him and to his word. Every kind of affliction. In every affliction, no matter what the source is, the ultimate source of affliction, of course, is God himself. He's the one who sends the pressures. But there are those afflictions that come from without, the circumstances that are beyond your control. The accuser of the brethren will make his accusation against you and give you those restless nights. The world, the flesh, and the devil will create those afflictions. The world itself outside of us, those are the afflictions that come to us, and the afflictions that come from within, the doubts and the fears that arise within us, the sin and unbelief and the lack of assurance. And God comforts you in affliction regardless of its cause. I can't help but to think, we talked about in our words of assurance, what was the cause of Israel's and Judah's affliction? It was their own sin, wasn't it? God cast them off and sent them into captivity and sent the oppressors against them because of their own sin. And so God is the one who comforts you in afflictions that are brought to you by your own sin. David was one who suffered tremendous pressure, outward pressure from his family, from his enemies, and then, of course, that inward pressure from his sin with Bathsheba and Uriah. And again, just the deadness of his soul and the wrestlings of his soul. Those things were brought upon him by his own sin. And yet God sent Nathan to him, first of all, to confront him and then to comfort him. And so David can write, how blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven, whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is comfort. The comfort of sins forgiven. Yes, I brought these things. And then you have Jeremiah talking to the people of God who brought all those afflictions. And he said, I sent these tormentors to you, and yet you continue to harden your heart. And it's just as if I'd done nothing. Whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And it didn't turn you away. And yet he says, return to me and I'll restore you. And what great comfort that God is ready to restore you even when you have alienated yourself by your own sin. I read this, and I'm not certain who said it, but I thought it was very useful, that no matter how many steps you have taken from the Lord, it's only one step back to return to him. Isn't that great? No matter how far down the road you've gone, brothers and sisters, it's one step back to return to him. In the afflictions that are brought by our own sin, repent and believe, and he restores us. He comforts you in afflictions rising from a fallen world, disease, death, and even the antithesis that we face, the hostilities that we face. He comforts you in all of those. And he comforts you in afflictions arising from his secret purpose. I couldn't help but think of the man born blind from birth. Who sinned, this man or his parents? And it wasn't anything. That's the way we think, isn't it? When people fall into trouble, who sinned, this man or somebody else? And Jesus said, no, this is for the glory of God. But it was an affliction. You stop and think of a man who was born blind from birth. He'd done nothing. His parents had done nothing. Blind for years, forced to beg, and the Comforter comes to him and meets him for the glory of God. And then, finally, seek to implement God's purpose, that he has purposed for your comfort. God comforts you, first of all, that you might enjoy him, just as we read in our psalm this evening for our call to worship. calling on us to bless us. And we call upon him to bless us. And there's a comfort in his blessing us, but he doesn't bless us just to bless us. He blesses us that the nations of the earth might know that he's God and that they might be drawn to him, as it were, provoked to jealousy. So God comforts you that you might enjoy him. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. He delivers you from the pressures that would destroy you, that would crush your faith, and he delivers you to the praise of his glory. Look back at the comfort that you have received, and if you begin to count your blessings, you will be overflowing with praise and thanksgiving to God if you think about it. We just tend to go our way. We're kind of like the 10 lepers that come to the Lord, and they're delivered, and they go their way rejoicing, and one of them turns back and remembers and says, "Thank you." We're kind of that way, aren't we? We go through and we receive those comforts, and then we forget them. And the Lord says, "Do not forget all of his benefits. Remember them." We'll have opportunity for that at our Thanksgiving dinner. I hope you'll be thinking about those things to stand up and to say, "This is what the Lord has done for my soul. These are the things that I want to give praise for, that we might glorify him and enjoy him." I can't help but think, is it Psalm 34? Been precious to me as well. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord has delivered him out of them all." And as we look back over our lives, there have been many afflictions, many pressures, and the Lord has delivered us out of them all. And as the Apostle Paul says, "He has delivered me. I was being fed to the beasts in Ephesus. I was doing battle. I despaired even of life. And blessed be God who delivered me. And he still will deliver me. And he'll deliver me through your prayers. I know he will do that." And so we see then that we want to implement those things. He comforts us that we might enjoy him. And he comforts us to equip us for service in his kingdom. God's choice instruments are not those who have gone through life without any affliction at all. They are those who have passed through the furnace of affliction. The strongest steel is that steel, as I understand it, that has been tempered by being heated and cooled and heated and cooled and heated and cooled. And that's what keeps an edge on a good knife, is a tempered steel. And your afflictions heat you, and God's comfort cools you, and it steels you and prepares you and equips you for those things. He equips you for service in his kingdom. And so we go back to the text again, and he says, "The one who comforts us in all our affliction," verse 4, "so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer." And so it's not just for ourselves, but God comforts us to serve in his kingdom. And so Jesus was equipped to fulfill his office as a mediator through suffering. It was through the afflictions of life and the comforts of God's Spirit through him. "For we do not have a great high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin." There was pressure in those things. He suffers all the same things that you and I endured and suffered. There were pressures on his life. There's the pressure to conform to the world. There was pressure to avoid the suffering that he ultimately endured. And although he was a son, we read in chapter 5 of Hebrews, although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him a source of eternal salvation. He became the source of comfort. He who was comforted. I remember after the temptations by Satan, God the Father sent the angels who ministered to him and comforted him after he had endured those things. And so remember these things as you're wrestling. Do you struggle in prayer? It may seem strange to you, but in his humanity, so did Jesus. You can't look at the Garden of Gethsemane without seeing him agonizing in prayer, sweating, as it were, drops of blood in prayer, agonizing in prayer, struggling in prayer. Do you struggle in prayer? So did he. Not the same way that you and I do, because he delighted to be in the Father's presence. And sometimes we're frightened to come into the presence because of our condition, but we're welcome because of Christ. But sometimes we struggle. So did he. Do you face discouragement? You want to see discouragement? Look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And yet he was comforted. The Father comforted him. His disciples comforted him. Sometimes they failed him, but he delighted in his disciples. Do you face temptation? So did he, more so than we do. He was equipped, and so you as a servant will not be better than your master. You will not be equipped from service without these things. And God comforts you to be an instrument to comfort others. The comfort you receive is applicable to every affliction. Notice again, as we go back here, to comfort those who are in any affliction. Your comfort and your affliction doesn't have to be identical to somebody else's. And sometimes you say, well, you just can't understand what I'm, because you've never gone through this. And maybe you haven't. But it doesn't mean that you cannot sympathize with someone, that you can't comfort them. Because he says, you can comfort them with the comfort with which you have been comforted. Because the comforter is the same, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The emphasis in this verse is not on the situation in which people need to be comforted. The emphasis is on the comfort which God gives, which applies to every situation. So the comfort you receive is applicable to every other affliction. There's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. We all sometimes think, nobody knows the trouble that I've seen. My situation is so unique, nobody can understand it. Nonsense. There's no temptation taking you but such as is common at its very core. And so the comfort that we receive have application to others. So you use the comfort that you receive to comfort others. You're not in, you don't need to be in identical circumstances in order to comfort those who are comforted. And I was convicted of this. I was reading something on Job, and can't remember what commentator it was. But we often, and in one sense, properly so, we don't like the comforters of Job, and indeed the Lord kind of. But you have to remember, one of the things they did come to comfort Job. They showed up, and they comforted him. They were there, and they were something of a comfort. Is only when they began discussing, well, your problem is this, that they kind of went away, and then Job went off the rails as well, and had to put his hand over his mouth as well. So use the comfort that you receive to comfort others. Can't help but think of Psalm 66:13. Come and hear, all who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul. Tell your story. Tell your story. Speak of the great things that God has done for you. Tell it, because God has done it. And you need to let these things go. Today at lunch, my grandson-in-law asked me a great question. We were having lunch with Josh and Amber. And he asked me, he calls me Pop-Pop, like my grandchildren do. And he asked me, Pop-Pop, how has God changed you from the time you're in your 20s and 30s? And it took me aback. But I had to go back and I had to think about the way that God dealt with my life. It was a great blessing to think back about the things that where the Lord had corrected me, where I had to repent. And there were a lot of things. There were a lot of things. And that younger generation needs to hear those things. You young people need to talk to older people, and you older people need to talk to younger people. You need to say, these are the ways that God has dealt with me in kindness. These are the comforts and the corrections that he's given to me. That's how we prepare the future generation. God has comforted you and he's corrected you in order to share with a rising generation. But also, not only give the comfort, learn to receive the comfort. That's something else that I'm having to learn. I'm very grateful to you all who minister to us. I have been very reticent to receive assistance and to receive comfort. I'm willing to give it. I'm very slow to receive it, and I think that's a sinful thing on my part. It's a pride that I don't need other people. I'm very grateful to you all, and I need to ask your forgiveness for not receiving the things as well. I don't want to be a burden to anyone, and yet that's one of the things of the body of Christ, is that we not only learn to give comfort, but to receive comfort as well. 1 Corinthians 12:26, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. This is part of the body of Christ. And so we think again, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. What's the source of your comfort? Make certain it's the God of all glory, the one who never fails, whose mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great is the faithfulness of the Lord. Thanks be to God for the comfort he's given to us. May we be instruments in sharing that comfort with others. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are the God of all comfort, and in every affliction you have met us. And sometimes we wallow in our afflictions because we do not look to you, even though that comfort is everywhere present. And when sin afflicts us, we often seek to hide our sin from you instead of fleeing to you. And of course, that only increases our discomfort. And so we thank you that you are the one who meets us and who calls us out of darkness into light. And you tell us to return. And as we return, confessing our sin, that you give us that greatest comfort of all, even union with you through Christ, the gift of life eternal, and that comfort that shall be ours, eternal and everlasting comfort without end, that we will share together with the blessed in heaven. Glory be to your name, God of all comforts. Amen.